I still have the.
Oh. You can drop it.
So what are we gonna do now?
Discuss what we should record this afternoon.
Okay.
What I should record.
Okay. For the.
Because I'm.
You're done. Okay.
Yeah. So I'll just sit here and I'll take some notes.
Oh, we are recording this one, right?
Yeah, this is being recorded.
Yeah.
No, I'm just gonna check something.
I forgot this.
It's fine.
So you have made the list, right? Of.
Yep.
Yeah. I have a list, as a list that you made. I think it's fine. It's just how we define the occlusion might be depends with respect to which camera. So, but I suppose when you mean occlusion with respect to this side of the room,
yeah. Which is really most likely.
Yeah.
More likely, yes. Because whether we use, well, you can have occlusion. Because what I have proposed is just to record essentially the same sequences we recorded before.
Mm-hmm.
With probably one or two people more, just to have more variety. For both the training data and that's data.
So there will be one sequence with six people and then moving.
Mm-hmm. So we need at least, I think I said.
So you would like to have a training set to show, like, for instance, the difference between, for instance, the calibration model and this way of doing the training.
Yeah. Just for this particular corpus, we might still want not to use the calibration and say you can see the base, and then if you have a calibration, you can do that.
Yeah.
So that could be
see whether it has a real effect on,
mm-hmm.
on the results, on the performance.
So in that regard, we would still need one or two people doing the typical thing, walking in space, sitting in the seats, moving around.
So because you would say that at some point that if the training set for doing this direct correspondence process between microphone arrays and visual is as difficult as doing the whole calibration of the camera, then it's easier to just use this simple calibration where you have a training set, it's a person that comes and speaks. Rather than having this
laser
pointer
and having to
calibrate
darken the room.
Yeah. And still the calibration is not done with respect to the microphone.
We
just calibrated the cameras.
Yeah.
We still have to align the
referent
to this.
I mean, this calibration method is supposed to be easy. The camera calibration method.
Yeah.
It's convenient.
Related.
Yeah.
Relatively to state of the art.
Yeah.
It's self-calibration, so you don't need a cumbersome object, but you need to have a dark room.
And you need to have several cameras.
Yeah, three minimum.
Yeah, one or two cameras.
Yeah, that's
more
true.
Difficult.
What we could do, I mean, like what we did before, for that configuration, it would be hard to calibrate with the same accuracy.
Yeah. No, with two cameras, the software we used is not working.
Okay.
Software from the TJ.
Oh, I just realized maybe I can remove that.
So this is in any case, this is one point. But we'd say if you have more cameras, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it could be used just a calibration setup.
Do you think about this? To be included or not, or both?
Well, I would say it could be good to have in the training set.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes.
And then in the test set, I would say if we do things twice, we might want to do it once with this stuff and one without it. So maybe we could still try.
Okay, one part of the test set would have an easy ground truth.
Yeah.
Since we could do it automatically.
Yeah, and the other one could not, even if he doesn't have a ground truth to report the results numerically, you could still show that we want the ground truth, and of course people can say, okay, but this can also have the tracker as well.
Excuse me, just one second.
Because the thing is, it also becomes very cumbersome to try to ground truth a conversation like this.
Yeah. Without markers, you mean?
Well, I would say that even with
even
with markers, because we have all these issues of overlap speech, you know, and what do we measure?
But yeah, if you want, I mean, for the speech, yes. For the vision, I think it might be more easy before. But though it has three cameras, and you want to do the calibration with three cameras, so
yeah, it just becomes.
And still, there is I don't know how many frames, but it's not going to be like 200 or 300 frames.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Rather than 5,000.
But we always have the option to run something automatic to detect the markers,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't have to check it, check the whole thing. I mean, you can work only on part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really happy with that, then you can test it on the whole sequence.
Yeah.
So
that's
with
true.
Yeah, with this, yes, but without it.
Without it?
Because I think in the test set we could use, even if we don't do it, because I just said that we could do it twice, but probably we can get just one or two sequences like this that are good enough to show results, and then we get the rest of the data that is good just to visualize. That could be good enough. Because in practice it become, you know, this 2-minute sequence?
Yeah.
It's just cumbersome to report numbers after all, because you need to manually segment all the speaker channels.
I also think that at some point, because tracking is, there is some issue about precision, but there is also some issue about not losing the target.
Yeah.
You would say you can do some ground truthing only like every 10 seconds or
yeah.
Yeah, I mean for
yeah.
3 minutes, you every second is enough, right? I mean,
or wherever you see there could be confusion or so.
Yeah, at some point, yeah.
So that would be the test set without markers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, even with markers, we could do something like that to make it more robust.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, even for you, I mean, I don't know, for instance, you may use a marker as the ground truth, but to be sure that, I mean, the marker is giving you some good ground truth, you may like every second to have a ground truth with the mouse, right? Clicking just on the mouse on the free images, but you don't want to do this, of course, at every frame. So at least you can compare the results at some specific frames with the whole sequence, and maybe you can see whether, because you may have a better ground truth, it's going to be more precise. It's better for an assessment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we don't know whether the markers will give a good position for
true.
You.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and then the other thing was just to have, again, as we've discussed before, as this is not, say, the best setup for covering the meeting room as a whole, I think we could just use these sequences as a way of showing that it can actually deal with challenging things with three people coming at the same time, this type of thing, which usually doesn't happen in the meeting, right? Like in a meeting like the ones we have here, we don't have like three people walking like this all the time, like we did before.
Not all the time.
Yeah. These are extreme sequences,
But then in a way, that's the type of sequence in which you want to test your method. I think the visual part, because you can say, you know, this is really complicated and you can still deal with
it. To push the limits.
Yeah.
Again, it's always depending on what kind of information you are using.
Mm-hmm.
If you use color and so the 3-4 sequences, all people have different colors, and you can more or less easily track the people, I suppose.
Yeah.
If they enter the room simultaneously or just one after the other, it's more. Of course, you would say if they enter the room, there should be people should also entering the room like two people at the same time, right?
It's more natural,
not only, you know, one after the other, like in queue, so that you can detect one, two, three, and learning the models. You may want to start, like, whenever it enters, you already have some visual ambiguities and help, so that you have a mechanism that, if you start with ambiguities, you can still do, make the difference after some time. Right.
So,
I don't know if you see.
It's
especially when you say we want to do tracking, like for instance trying to find the colors of t-shirts or things like this.
Yeah, I guess the main point is just to have just that every sequence is realistic, as you say. I mean, I think that the one, and that's another one, that's a quite realistic situation. But it's not extreme. The extreme is the one you just described.
Yeah, I mean, here of course, because
exactly
there is not a lot
time.
Of people, I mean, a space, usually people are entering one after the other because there is not much room to move front or to two by two. But in, you would say, in a quite larger room, people would enter and start speaking of something and then start beginning to sit and things like this, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one sequence
to have people entering it together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just to say that if you have some learning algorithms that learn some, for instance, the color of your t-shirts or things like this, maybe initially it's not very easy because there is overlap of people. But after, I mean, if at some points during the meeting, of course, they go going away or they sit at a different place, you can readjust your model or something like this.
Well, that's also probably a way to show the interest of having multiple cameras. I'm not the vision person that I would think.
Yeah, of course.
Another set of camera, one or two, would help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, would provide a better discrimination. Yeah, that's for sure.
And otherwise, you would do three people seated.
Well, I had listed here some, and I had said in the test set we had one with one speaker, one with two, I mean some with one, some with two, and some with three.
Okay.
So for the ones with one speaker, I had just said one would be the same as training.
Yeah.
With the same person who was used for training, and then another one could be doing the more or less same thing with one or one person, but with a different person.
Okay.
Just to show that you're not testing on the same subject. So this is exactly what we did before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and having like maybe people leaving and entering again.
So only one person will do the training sequence?
Well, I was suggesting two at least to have a larger training set.
Different person.
Yeah, different person doing more or less same thing.
I'm just trying to release the
mm-hmm.
sequences because
mm-hmm.
at some point, you release them. So, then two persons.
So also, Jama had said another, either is if it's part of this test set, this test sequence or not, to have this person leaving their room and re-entering.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just one person. That could be done.
Could be several persons. Mm. One person leaving the room and then coming back with another one. But
it's just that
we should
from past experience this week, I've noticed it's much easier when a very clearly defined
clearly
list. Because then you have to explain people who
what
are not
do.
Familiar with this thing,
yeah.
what to do.
So I would say for this particular case, if the train set is clear, right? You're supposed to speak when from the moment you enter and open, use the room as much as you can.
Yeah, cover the space.
The space that you would
sit down, stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
then the test, I would say that one test set could be simply the same one, exactly.
Okay.
Maybe other people.
It's possible also to record a longer sequence. What I did was sometimes a very constrained pass.
Mm-hmm.
The person exits, and the person re-enters, and do something else,
mm-hmm.
does something else. So then we can choose which part we're using.
I think I would still go for one test set that is essentially the person does the same the person did in for training.
Yeah.
But then what we could do in the same, if we want to have a longer sequence, could have another person, when this guy leaves, say, the field of view, having somebody else entering and doing something. I was going to say doing exactly the same.
So
that's one. So we would have two people in the test set doing the same. And given that we are basically running around in this direction, then we could have the same two people now entering and just doing some, you know, describing some random trajectory inside.
So that's three.
Yeah, but it's really three, but we can do it all of them at the same time.
Okay, so the first one goes, exits, the second one goes, exits,
mm-hmm.
and then they come in together.
I was just thinking of these sequences
yeah,
one
person. One
person.
Well,
yeah.
Standard,
there's only one person
yeah.
in the field of
when one person stops, yeah.
Yeah, when one person stops speaking, you could have the second person entering, basically.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they are in the field of view, at some point they should be at three different places, right? So
mm-hmm.
As this, we can see that it restarts again.
Yeah. So the only difference would be that in the first case, you would do more or less the same what was used for training, just to have a
mm-hmm.
check. In the second case, you can choose whatever. You can just enter, talk, move a little bit around, stop speaking, restart speaking again.
Okay.
Because this is really the only chance we have for one person. Right?
Okay.
It really becomes four mini sequences into one. Right?
So different person, different version.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not use the same person at the time because I would ask the same person to them.
Well, right now, I would like to have the same person exactly to see what is just the effect of the...
Ah, okay.
Because in the mapping, it might seem very random, right? In the mapping...
Yes. But if it's the same person, basically we have the impression that it's correct. But
sure, that's what the sequence is for. You
okay.
want to check that it's correct.
Okay.
You want to check that in the train that... The same person
yeah.
in a slightly different system.
Yeah, just because you want to be sure that just because the person did not speak maybe at the same position exactly, you got still some
yeah.
good corresponding.
Because you might still have the person speaking at a slightly
mm-hmm.
different place and that
yeah.
really screw up everything.
Yeah, I think this sequence could be like just say now we have three people, you do this like six times. It could be you can split the test and training data with this, right? It's 1 sequence, but you can split data between test and training.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't have three people, everybody is willing to do that. Yeah.
Because this is corresponding to this, right? I mean, you have a first round, people do something, two persons, and the second round, two persons are doing the same thing, and the third round, they are doing more random pattern, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's. I don't know whether it's easier or to have more always different data sets. I don't know. Maybe it's better you would prefer to split into more.
Oh, it's not a big issue. I don't have much constraint on that.
Yeah, after we do what?
Yeah, I guess yeah, that's a good plan. We can just put this into only one with the three of us doing something.
Okay.
I guess that's a.
So, never more than one person at a time in the field of view?
Yeah, never more. So we have to wait until the person has lit the entire three cameras.
Okay, and he's silent.
Yeah, he's silent, yeah.
Nice computation. So, yeah.
And then the others are really two sequence, two speaker and three speaker. Wait.
By the way, I'm sorry if I missed something, but this would be without that stuff, right? All the stuff would be without markers.
Well,
at this point, yeah, that's true.
We could still say that.
Maybe the three, the third pass.
The first two times,
yeah.
We use the markers, and the third pass, we get the markers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in that pass, you really have test set with no markers.
So three persons, three times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so one is training with marker.
When you say testing with marker, and the other one is no marker, test with no marker.
And I guess in the first two, the motion is similar.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last one, the motion might be
yeah.
very different.
Yeah, very different.
In the over-tested, two walking speakers with no occlusion is one after the other, so they are more speaking, they are not speaking at the same time.
Well, they could, my idea was just to have like somebody say entering from this side and somebody entering from this side, and just have some form of conversation, whatever that doesn't include visual occlusion.
I did one this morning.
Okay, but there will be probably some occlusion for different cameras, but again, they don't cross with respect to the
paths. I mean physically they don't cross.
So they meet, but then they turn back.
Well, I would say I was thinking something like you enter this side, I enter this side, we talk to each other, and then we leave.
Okay.
We might approach each other if we want.
For your information, this morning I recorded Florent and Olivier. So they meet, they greet, they cross each other. I'm not sure they speak at the time they cross, but you do have occlusion and vision in that sequence.
And there are markers, right?
Yeah.
So that's why, I mean, for most of the things, I think probably we can choose the markers.
Yeah.
And for all of the, I would say the rest of the sequence, we don't really need them.
So two people meeting each other, not occluding. It's possible, I mean, time-wise, it's not a big expense to do it twice with a second set of person in the same sequence.
Maybe we can have like Victoria and somebody, and they are like doing like cheeks to cheek. This is a kind of interaction, I don't know.
I'm sure Victoria and Fabien will.
Yeah, for instance. Okay, let's say Victoria and Fabia.
Yeah, the other option that I had said is either you can just have two people, basically what we did yesterday, just like walking and talking at the same time, but you already have something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just in this case to see, you can basically initialize the tracker and initialize the other tracker when the other person enters, and then, you know, whenever they speak, someone say, really, you guys speaking, or these two guys are speaking at the same time.
But again, what I did was with markers.
So we could do it then, a similar one with no markers, only one.
So two people walking behind each other.
Yeah.
And speaking simultaneously.
Yeah. Because in the first one, people are not going to speak simultaneously. They are more talking to each other, right?
Yeah, it's more like in a discussion, right? They may start discussing when they are away, but
right.
They are discussing.
Yeah.
In this case, yeah.
So this can be done twice. I kind of insist on that because of variety.
Yeah, I think that's good.
And I think each time, I mean, it could be only one recording, right? It's only when people leave, they re-enter again, for instance.
Yeah.
Unless you, or if it's two other people, then what I mean, so
we see that.
If we want other people, maybe.
It's probably better, other people.
And then, well, the for occlusion, because I had mentioned one that was just occluding each other, which really was just passing each other.
I
somewhat like this idea of having short sequences, so it's easy for purposes of processing.
Maybe,
and they don't feel like you just stop them at some time.
Yeah.
As opposed in the case in which you may have a very long sequence,
and
you have to sort of select a chunk to show exactly what you want to show. So we can have that one just very simple, people entering from different parts, from different sides, crossing each other and leaving.
Okay.
While speaking, if we just want to use this for visual tracking, only for visual tracking, then we shouldn't take the audio into account, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah, but they can speak if they want.
Yeah.
To discuss.
Yeah.
Because that could be interesting for me. So.
One of the options that I had thought about this was just like a handshake.
Yeah.
So you pass in front of each other, handshake, open each other, obviously, and keep going.
not stopping too much.
Yeah, not stopping too much. So the idea would be, like, you enter and then you basically say, hey, from the distance, something like, hey, how are you? Come back, you say, handshake, say, see you later, or something, and leave.
Mm.
So it still feels like a conversation. There may be some overlap.
Yeah.
Plus a cushion.
Right.
And then the last one, I think I had said for two speakers, it was a more complex one. To like people get together, like a real conversation, people get together
and
they have a seat, they sit and they talk for a little while.
Mm.
And probably they choose, after a while, they choose to stand up and leave, following the original path they had. So there's at least one moment of occlusion and people sit down and chat naturally.
So we're discussing. Seated,
mm-hmm.
and leave on the other side. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now again, talking about again the issue of whether people should start speaking from outside or being silent when they start being recorded.
I think it may be good to have
both,
yeah.
But then this is multiplies it by two.
Why?
At least one.
Can do one in one start and one in another.
Mm-hmm.
What is really the issue about not speaking when people are outside?
It's just for matters of, it just looks a bit unnatural that if you have a sequence when people talk to each other and there's nobody in the in the camera.
Yeah, but you would say that, for instance, if it would be like in a surveillance application and looking like it's in a home application,
mm-hmm.
then people may discuss and enter a room and then,
yeah.
So for this, I think it's natural. I mean,
it's not natural to force yourself to be silent unless
yeah.
you're seen by camera.
Yeah, for me, this sounds more natural if people, you're the impression that people are coming, so they are arriving in the field of view, but it's not once they arrive, they start speaking.
And if you're testing something else than this creation destruction problems,
mm-hmm.
then both sequences can be used similarly, right? I don't know.
I was also either thinking that you would like, when people are in the field of view and speaking, when you have speakers outside the field of view, and this is like a disturbance, right? What do you do with this?
Well, in visual terms, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, but still, I mean, what do you
visually
do, right?
It's outside of the real universe.
So this is what, yeah.
Right.
So this will be decided, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's arbitrary. There's no scientific solution.
Yeah, but still, it's some noise kind of clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Not coming from the source, coming from outside, but still it's clutter, right? So you have to deal with it.
To hear, to me, it is equivalent to like getting some noise outside the room instead of outside the physical space that
yeah.
can be measured.
Mm.
Yeah, there's always some. In one of those meetings, in one silence, you hear a plane doing a Doppler noise.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the tracker that points to,
to
the ceiling.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking what's going on there. No, it's just a plane.
Okay, so then the simplest way would be just to tell people to do what you wish.
Yeah, I think it would be good to have something.
Then we don't have to do twice.
Like say there are people that are like discussing together, they form a group, so they discuss, they can enter and speak. They can sit, and some people may just walk and start speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is more for the surveillance
mm-hmm.
application.
So just one sequence of this?
Yeah. So
this is a lot.
This is.
Ah, okay.
This by two, it was before we discussed this.
That was for variety reason, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
at least if you vary people from one sequence to another,
mm-hmm.
that's
yes.
probably enough.
Yeah. We'll have more variety even if it's not duplication.
Yeah, but it's also possible, I understand you like the idea of one shot sequence and you just test on that rather than extract a part.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, as long as there's a place where there's not a natural
that's
way of cutting, it doesn't really matter.
So I'm saying, even within us, we can choose a different set of two people,
mm-hmm.
or extra people,
mm-hmm.
to redo it right after.
Well, yeah, that's true. That at some point, I mean, we can start the sequence wherever we want, right?
If it's, as I said, if it's a natural point,
yeah.
Basically where you see nothing and hear nothing for a while, I think that's a natural point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah.
So twice, but within one sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think there was only one or twice for three people.
Three people.
And here one was, I guess that one of the things could actually be something like this, just to have a natural conversation with people.
Yeah.
But given that this sort of entering, sitting, and
mm-hmm.
just starting discussing, that is just to show that it can work in practice for a realistic
mm-hmm.
case. And then another one could be more challenging, like this one that was here. And just to have people, basically more or less what we did yesterday, passing in front of each other, speaking, greeting each other. This is probably the most difficult one to get naturally.
By the way, so we agree that we stick on this setup, right?
I guess it should be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
It takes about an hour to record a calibration sequence, compress it, transfer it, process it, test it. So basically the option is open, but and if it doesn't work, you have to move back to this one, recall another calibration sequence.
Yeah, plus, you know, if we stick to this stuff, we can still reuse some of the data you have collected before.
That's a good point, yeah. So,
because
for safety, every day I recorded a new, but
it should be more or less constant.
Yeah, I believe so. I checked the marks and it didn't move. And anyway, we have two cameras that are fixed for sure. So in the worst case, you just shut down the third one after calibration.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried the precision on camera one and two, and at some point it's even better. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I assume at least one of the cameras should be good enough for this. I mean, even right now, everybody's really close to that.
The closest is this one, but the more versatile is this one, I think.
This one. Mm-hmm.
Number two. The third one is a bit too
far
lateral.
Yeah.
So we may have a lot of occlusion there.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
I think it's all there, right?
Yeah.
So who are the actors?
I don't know. Do you still have some people waiting to do some stuff?
Getting hard. Steve Dalton hasn't participated. I don't know how busy he is these days. He's probably quite busy now.
Yeah.
I can volunteer as one of the people if you need.
Yeah.
And
But
the only constraint is that from 4 to 5
we have
a
meeting.
A meeting,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it straight 5 or?
I would say yes. I cannot really afford to stay much longer than 1 hour.
Okay.
So
I have to, unless we can find 3 other tapes, I will have to extract those.
Because if you have time,
yeah.
My personal preference would be to do it after 5.
After 5?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then I have plenty of time to clean that up.
Yeah, so if we can recruit somebody else who is willing to work after 5.
Like a fourth person?
Well, we need how many?
Two other persons.
Mm. And if you don't want to be in there.
It's just that people probably already seen me everywhere.
Everywhere.
So
don't worry, man. People will keep seeing you all the time. Yeah, I mean, it's just that do I have something else to do? I also need to meet with Ian and Sami.
What about you? Is there any constraint? You have to go back, right? So between 5 and 6:30.
Yeah. It's not the best.
It's not the best time.
Yeah.
So maybe we can get two other people.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we both, if you want, we can do some recordings at 3 and some other
at 5.
Okay, yeah, that also works.
So
I have just a question. We were thinking about doing this meeting here between 4 and 5.
Okay.
Go you to be. Do you have intention of some intention on this
one? You're recording it?
No. It's just to like get accustomed to the to the place and the physical place.
If you're not
place.
Recording it, maybe hopefully not, but maybe I'll still be there.
Yeah.
I'll be just
downloading images. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't see the problem.
Okay. So if you meaning that if you don't have to record between 4 and 5, then
No. So Jean-Marc is more available in the beginning of the afternoon.
Mm.
So let's try to do the small number of people that time.
Mm.
Find somebody else maybe. So we would be at least 3.
Mm.
So we can vary the set of people in an easier way. Actually, when we say times 2, for example, I guess this should be an entirely different
set.
So we should find 2 other people, right? What else? And then we can do whatever is left after 5.
Mm-hmm.
Or in fact, maybe it's not the great idea because Liz probably this would need 4 people, in fact, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one, I think we
would three.
Only 3. So it could be 2 of us and somebody
else.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess after lunch we can just go around and
try
to
pick up some people.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do some advertisement during lunchtime. What do you do with afternoon? Oh, you don't know? Okay. I have something for you.
We have a plan for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You will be famous.
All right.